man. You almost ran into me.
Problem? I don't have any problem. You new around here?
Just started today. Who's asking?
Someone who's going to give you some real good advice.
Is that right?
That's right.
Well, I can hardly wait.
Stay away from Rhonda.
Get the hell out of here.
You don't listen very well, do you? Stay away from her. I'm going to take you apart. Piece by piece.
You just made a mistake.
Come on.
She met a guy like you. Now she's dead.
You should believe in ghosts, Pea Brain.
He's a closet. Don't hurt me, please.
Don't keep me waiting for those onions, Herman.
This is all the whiskey you possess?
Everyone out of the way of the bulldozer.
Hello and welcome to Hello, This is the Doom Show. I am Richard.
I'm Brad.
Folks, we are back in the frickin' quarantine bunker town located just west of Spain or Italy. I don't know where we are. And we have a listener request. Brad, who wants us to talk about something?
Theodore Maximus Rawson, otherwise known as Ted Rawson.
Ted, who I always think his last name is Rawsome, because in my mind, Ted is awesome.
Right.
He wanted us to talk about Killer Workout from 1987, a.k.a. Aerobicide. Which a band I like very much called Taken by Savages. They did a song called Aerobicide. I'm a big fan of that song. And that's Joseph Ziemba's band of Bleeding Skull. So, oh.
I'm actually going to have to switch gears.
Oh, please.
I thought this was a wrestling podcast we were doing.
Oh, dude, no. This is Jazzercise or... Booty Boot Camp or Ty Bo. So any of those. Sweating to the oldies, if you will. Because you and I, we know we're not spring chickens anymore. People have to sweat to us.
Yes. I've got the 4K scan of Booty Boot Camp.
I have the 8K of Sweating to the Oldies. It actually comes the entire... dancing crew. They come out of the Blu-ray case into your house.
Right.
Mm. Also, Annie Choi of Bleeding Skull is also in Taken by Savages. Her bass playing is... Oh, and singing is magnificent. So, yeah. Taken by Savages, Aerobicide.
I didn't even know about them.
Oh, they're great. They're great. Very rockin'.
Very rockin'.
Mm-hmm. Folks, Brad gets this text from me every once in a while, and I can tell... It makes his blood run cold. I'm going to say this text out loud to you now. Rum says yes.
To which I respond, oh no.
Mm-hmm. Folks, I rarely ever drink on Hello, This is the Doom Show, but tonight, if there was any night to do it, it is tonight.
Tonight, tonight, tonight. Oh.
Ted's going to get his money's worth.
Oh boy. Or he's going to get his money back, but talk to our lawyers, sir. Talk to our lawyers. But no, Ted, it is always great to hear from you all the time, and especially you contributing to the show means so much to us, dude.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Also, Riddle me this, Batman. When was the last time we recorded in back-to-back weeks?
I'm going to say maybe the SF Brown Rig Megasode, but that I can't confirm that.
It's been years.
Yeah.
It's not been since we've lived here in the house.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Might have been the Obama administration. I'm not sure.
Well, he inspired us all.
He did.
But dude, yeah, this is amazing. So yeah, folks, double Brad and Richard assault. It'll just be so many months between when I release the episodes.
Right.
That you'll have to feel the energy in your imagination.
I mean, we might even record again before this one comes out. Who knows?
I like those odds because I have Solo, a Star Wars story on Blu-ray.
Really?
It might be unrelated to what you meant or what I meant, but I have it.
Mm, but it might be integral to what I was thinking.
It's incidental as well. So we're going to spoil a Killer Workout, which is ironic or just coincidental. Ask Alanis Morissette. The German trailer, because I could not find an English trailer for this movie that had anything but the sweet music from this movie. The German trailer completely reveals the killer of this beautiful slasher movie. I don't know why. Maybe they don't care. But here's the German trailer for Killer Workout, a.k.a. Robicide.
Workout.
The Germans. And here you go.
Mord kennt keinen Takt.
Und eins, zwei, drei, vier, fünf, sechs, sieben, acht und eins. Hoch, runter, hoch, runter, hoch, runter.
Ein Thema heißer als jede Sonnenbank strapaziert gnadenlos ihre Nerven. Das Lodern der Hölle verbrennt sie in ihren schlimmsten Albträumen. Ein Sadist im Blutrausch vollendet als Schlechter sein mörderisches Werk.
Ich verschwinde hier, solange es mich noch im Ganzen gibt. Wenn du Verstand hättest, würdest du dasselbe tun.
Nur Angst bestimmt noch Tag und Nacht, denn jeder hängt an seinem Leben. Doch Gnade ist nicht das Geschäft der Hölle.
Machen Sie auf, hier ist die Polizei.
Welchen Schafspelz trägt die Bestie als Tarnung? Aerobicide. Ein Film, der sie näher zusammen.
That was the trailer for Killer Workout. Martin Luther Presley, if you're listening, please translate and email us. Thank you.
Please do, our German listener. Mm-hmm. Oddly enough, Amazon Prime, the description for this film is incorrect.
Oh, what does it say?
A girl is murdered by a malfunctioning tanning bed. Years later, her sister opens a workout gym.
Oh.
And people are murdered, and that's not really the plot.
Sort
of is, but not really. Yeah.
Hey, they streamlined it to make more sense in today's workaday world.
Workaday world.
So here is the VHS tape. This is the VP Premiere, or IVS Video UK. I like the UK VHS tape because it has very little text. I like them VHSs without the texticles.
Right.
The tagline is, this workout'll kill you. And then on the back it says, this workout'll kill you. I did not know that you could use an apostrophe to shorten workout will. That's great.
Oh, yeah. Workout'll?
Workout'll.
I like that.
Hey, our Kentucky listeners, they know about workout'll.
They do.
We're still waiting.
Probably Tennessee as well.
We're still waiting for workout'lls to hit Tampa.
Well, you get a lot of wrestlers down there.
It is true, which is why you thought we were going to have a wrestling podcast today.
Yeah, that's probably it. Hey, Tampa, home of wrestling.
Before the end of this show, if you think of a wrestling tidbit, a little piece of trivia you know about professional wrestling, drop it in the show and we will officially make this a wrestling podcast. How's that sound?
That sounds like a challenge.
Oh, Schmidt. Here is what the movie is about according to the VHS tape. Beautiful young women with gorgeous figures, handsome, muscle-bound young men, aerobics classes, weight rooms, tanning booths, saunas, locker rooms, and juice bar.
Okay.
All the things one might expect to find in a modern Southern Californian health spa. This one in particular, however, is slightly different in nature. Its members are not only exercising for a better life, .. They're dying. Boy, oh boy. This is a beautiful VHS tape, man. Oh. Whoever is responsible for VHSCollector.com, thank you.
Thank you.
So this was directed by a person named David A. Pryor, which is no stranger to Hello, This is the Doom Show, though I feel like I have not delved into his work enough.
I know I haven't.
Let's see. Jeffrey and I have recorded an episode about Sledgehammer, the movie that he wrote. Yes, he also directed Sledgehammer.
Mm-hmm.
But the big one of his that everyone talks about is Deadly Prey. And I have never seen Deadly Prey.
Nor have I.
I want to say Tyler is a fan of that one, maybe?
Hmm.
I'm not sure. Yeah, it's got Cameron Mitchell in it, so...
Sweaty Cameron Mitchell?
Yeah, dude, he's sweating big time.
Heck yeah.
So before he went action-y, before he did tons of action movies, like Jungle Assault and Rapid Fire and Future Force, and he did some horror movies like Sledgehammer and Killer Workout. Let's just jump into this. I have some sweet notes from Brad's mouth to God's ear by way of Elizabeth's typing.
I wrote it while she typed it.
Beautiful. We start the movie with some very boring credits, just black screen with some red text. One would assume that this movie would rely on aerobics footage for its opening credits, but no. They save the good stuff, which they'll drop in the movie repeatedly later. But this music is by someone named Todd Hayen. So we got some sweet synthesizer music happening here. I kind of don't recognize his stuff. He was in the music department for Double Team, starring Jean-Claude Van Damme and Dennis Rodman and Mickey Rourke.
Dennis Rodman.
I kind of want to watch Double Team. I remember when it came out. You approve this message?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen it either, but it ended about like stolen sneakers or something.
That's a really good question.
Or something.
An international spy teams up with an arms dealer to escape from a penal colony and rescue his family from a terrorist.
That doesn't sound like it's about stolen sneakers.
I'm looking at the keywords here. I'm afraid not. Although, one of the keywords is hero kills a woman. Maybe he killed her over sneakers. I don't know. Jean-Claude Van Damme. After these beautiful credits, we get a girl. A very plucky young lady whose face we are not shown. She comes home, opens her fridge while listening to her frickin' messages on her machine, and she gets a very important message that she's landed the cover of Cosmopolitan magazine, and she has to run off to Europe to be frickin' shot. which is what happens to models. Once they reach peak age, they get shot.
True.
And she leaves the house without shutting the fridge door. Very important. And she gets in a tanning bed. The tanning bed malfunctions and presumably burns her to death, folks. That presumably, I added that. That's important.
It is. And real quick, you've seen Birdemic, right?
No, I've still never seen it. It's been recommended to me.
Really? The girl in Birdemic is a model, and she gets a phone call or a message very similar to this where somebody tells her, you got the cover of Cosmopolitan, if memory serves. Cause
oh, my God.
Elizabeth is a huge, huge fan of Birdemic, and I'm like, this is exactly like Birdemic. And she said, yes, it is.
Well, also, I'm going to watch it now.
In 1998, Jean-Claude Van Damme was in a movie called Knock Off, and
right,
he plays a Hong Kong fashion designer who had previously been involved in knockoffs of major label merchandise, attempts to go straight with the help of his new partner, Rob Schneider. Stolen sneakers, knockoffs of products. I was close. It's got Jean-Claude Van Damme in it.
There you go. So, before you doubt Brad, you need to recognize his powers of Van Damminess.
Van Hamminess.
Van Damme it. So yeah, she gets burnt up in this hilarious thing. It's like Final Destination, but way dumber.
Mm.
And then what did I write in my notes? Bulge in his pants message. Oh, her friend calls and talks about a guy. So before that message, her friend's talking about a man's bulge in his pants. That is not important.
And she wants to borrow a dress, and she's like, oh, no, my boobs aren't as big as yours.
Oh, bless her heart.
Pretty ridiculous.
I'm jealous of anyone who has less than a B cup, because that's what I got in my moobs, my moob category.
Moops.
So we need to talk about Jamie. We got a lady named Jamie, and she is an aerobics instructor. And it's very important that we freaking get some aerobics footage in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Holy crow. We get so much instruction. I literally know how to do aerobics now.
You do. It's true. It's the instruction course.
This Jamie girl is an actress named Teresa van der Voed. That's how I'm pronouncing her last name. It might not be pronounced that way. For all of her crazy name, you'd think she'd be from like some other country, but no, she's from the America country.
Mm.
I'm looking at her credits, very, very small amount of things, but she's very fun in this movie. She's definitely stands out from the pack of all the aerobicizers or whatever.
All right.
But since she's late for work, our pal Rhonda Johnson is going to be instructing this class, very angrily instructing this class. This is Marsha Carr of Savage Streets, Maniac Cop, to name a few. And the one I need to look for, oh my God, I need to look for her next time. She was in Real Genius.
Ooh, really?
She played Cornell's girl at party. Holy crap, I need to find out.
Mm-hmm.
Who she is. I'm trying to remember who Cornell is even. Yeah, I will figure this out. I'm excited. Liette is a big fan of Real Genius. Therefore, I'm a fan
great movie.
Of Real Genius.
Yeah, it's a great movie, and I love
yes.
Everybody Wants to Rule the World playing over the end credits.
Beautiful. That was one of those songs that I felt was played out in the 80s.
I'm sure.
But
yeah.
Then by the time I'm watching Real Genius, I'm like, dude, timeless.
If Tears for Fears is on the radio, I would say probably 7 times out of 10, it's going to be Everybody Wants to Rule the World instead of Shout or Head Over Heels or something like that.
Head Over Heels is the greatest living song. I love that freaking song, dude.
So good.
Oof.
I love Tears for Fears. I'm not ashamed to say it.
No, you shouldn't be. They taught me how to sow the seeds of love, brother.
dude.
So while Rhonda is instructing and being tough with these ladies whose crotches and butts are just firing at the camera like missiles, we see Creepy Jimmy. Creepy Jimmy is just in love with Rhonda and just staring at her. He's played by someone named Fritz Matthews. And Rhonda is not too pleased with this Jimmy guy staring at her. Fritz Matthews was a regular in David A. Pryor movies. He was in Deadly Prey and Kill Zone, a couple things there. But he's a real meathead. We get a lot of meatheads in this movie. We'll talk about them.
Well, what's it going to be this time? I'm late and I'm sorry, okay? No, that's not okay. I just had to spend my time teaching your class instead of doing my books. And then you show up 5 minutes after the class is over with? I don't think so. I'm sorry, okay, Rhonda? But Jamie, you can't keep doing this to me. This place is too damn important to me.
I said I'm sorry. It won't happen again.
I just had a really bad day. Why don't you just start locking up?
Got it. And then I'm gonna take you to dinner, okay?
Right. Now get out of here.
After she's done yelling at frickin' Jamie, and when the aerobics class is over and the Rhonda's workout place is shutting down, we get a beautiful black lady who is one of the exercisers, and she decides to go shower, which is amazing because she is showering for approximately 20 hours.
It's the opposite of Alice's shower at the beginning of Friday the 13th Part 2.
She's not nearly... No one's as clean as this lady.
No.
Oh, I forgot to mention. A dude harasses frickin' Jamie when she comes to work. I swear I know this guy's name. Tom. Tom the Beefhead. He harasses her because he's trying to get a date, and that's Richard Bravo plays Tom. He's important in a body count kind of a way. We'll talk about him later. So while she's showering, the most murder rock dancing death thing happens, where the killer strikes after everyone else is gone and attacks this beautiful lady in the shower and kills her with a giant safety pin.
Bingo.
What is the significance of this safety pin? Why is it so important to our killer? Is it connected to their past somehow? Like when they were a baby, their mother would unhook their diaper and stab them with the needle. We don't know.
We do not know.
So the lights go out and she gets murdered. And then Jamie almost walks in on the killer moving the body, but then she turns to leave, do something else. So she sneaks into the men's locker room and inspects a jock strap from someone's locker. So if a man was inspecting panties, he would be fired.
Yes.
And I'm not trying to pull some sexist double speak like, oh, it's not fair. Like, but that's all I could think of was, dude, is that really charming to an employer that their employee has no self-control whatsoever? No. That's my favorite thing about Jamie. She just likes to look at those jock straps.
I thought it'd be funny how, you know, that old, the novelty t-shirts and hats that are FBI, female body inspector.
Yes.
She had like a t-shirt that said jock strap inspector.
What I don't understand is where are women's jock straps? Do women not care about their jock?
I don't think they do.
Dude, that's messed up. That's sexism personified. Look at your jocks, ladies.
But get them strapped.
Rhonda finds this charming, sort of, and doesn't punish her at all for this, other than humiliating her into not doing that anymore. So we get a nice fake out where Jamie opens a locker and a disembodied arm, which is a joke, falls out and grabs her. It's like one of those like jokey arms you'd get from the worst Halloween store of the 80s ever.
The old arm in the locker trick.
Oh, it happens every time. But then the real scare is when the locker containing the dead lady opens and she falls out. Whoa! Terrifying. Now we're going to meet Detective Morgan. Detective Morgan, folks, is played by someone named, Lieutenant Morgan. Ooh, fancy. It's David Campbell, actor. He also, Deadly Prey, lots of action movies. He was in Scarecrows from 88.
I just watched that.
Yeah. How is that one? I didn't like it when I first saw it. What did you think of it?
I liked it. I thought it was good. It was very ambitious. I had started it about 150 years ago.
Yeah.
Didn't finish it, but then I ran across it and I thought, well, we'll watch this. And no, it takes a little bit to get going.
Yes.
That may be part of the problem. But once it does, no, I enjoyed it.
I remember the walkie-talkies were a little over the top for me. I was like, can we have a little less walkie-talkie play?
Well, you know what they say, Richard?
What?
Politician granny with your high ideals. Have you no idea how the majority feels?
Oh, man. Is that a Fix lyric?
No, that's Sowing the Seeds of Love.
Oh, my God. Well, see, folks, a little background. I have been wanting to do a little bit of a music sideshow, like a circus sideshow with Brad. And our first episode will be about The Fixes Reach the Beach.
Our second will be about what?
Oh, Don Caballero, What Burns Never Returns.
Burns never returns.
Man, one day.
Unless
one day.
It's Jock folks. Itch. Jock Itch can come back.
We're going to bring back music. People are going to talk about music. We're going to be the two people.
Yep.
But this,
I mean, we did that comic book episode.
Oh, yeah. The freaking. That's the Doom Show Presents, Brad and Richard talking about comic books. It's in the archive. Yeah. Check it out.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's not like we're breaking ground that we've already broken.
We're actually pouring water and reforming the ground to make it breakable again.
Mm-hmm. Engineers are on the job.
Mm-hmm. So, Lieutenant Morgan is amazing. He is so driven in this movie. This actor is so funny. His freaking eyebrow could crush any normal human man. He's so freaking like one of these chiseled out of granite looking guys. Oh, God, it's so great. But he's not too tough to not fall for the arm in the locker trick, too. So when that fucking joke arm gets them, it's so good.
They got their money's worth.
He interviews Rhonda and Jamie to get the facts about the case. And they find a knitting needle in Diane Matthews' locker. I believe Diane is the girl, the black lady who was killed. Who is Diane?
Diane is the one that Detective Morgan goes to stake out.
Oh, God, thank you. Okay. Man, I'm getting confused.
Her locker is where the body was found in her locker, and that's where they also found the knitting needle.
Gotcha.
They thought was the murder weapon.
Nice. So, yes, this red herring knitting needle, because that's not the real story. It's always about the safety pin. If it was a hat pin, Lucio Fulci would have sued this movie, boy.
He probably thought about it anyway.
He was a little hard up for cash there.
About 87.
Meanwhile, Rhonda, after this interrogation, Rhonda finds a dude going through her frickin' locker, and she is not impressed. She's very upset.
It's a filing cabinet.
Oh, did I say locker? Yes, filing cabinet. This is Ted Pryor. So Ted Pryor is an actor, and I believe, unless I'm mistaken, he's the brother of the director, David.
He is. He looks like a jacked up Christian Bale.
Yes, he does. With beautiful blonde highlights. Oh my God.
I'm telling you.
He's also a meathead, although he's a much smaller meathead than these other guys. But his whole thing is like, hey, I'm just going through your filing cabinet. It's my first day. Hey. but his name is Chuck Dawson. I'm going to call him Charles because he doesn't like it.
Okay.
According to him, he's been hired by her silent partner to work there, and Rhonda is not pleased.
Mm-mm.
I already said that maybe, but yes, we're on the same page here. So later, after she begrudgingly agrees to hire him, she tells him to take out the trash. So he's taking out the trash, and he always gets hit by a car driven by the obsessive Jimmy, And according to these notes, there's a bro off, and Chuck kick punches Jimmy and then resumes taking out the trash. This fight scene is so good that it won't explain the fight scene later at all.
No.
Folks, Jimmy is going to hand the ass whooping right back to Chuck later. It's weird. Mm-hmm. I don't understand why or how, but it happens. But yeah, he tells Chuck to stay away from Rhonda. And Chuck's like, I was doing that. I don't know what you want. And they fight. Oh, man. While they're fighting, somebody watches them. This one girl she has very large pectoral muscles.
Right.
But they have an audience for their big fight. Oh, my God. It's so funny. Oh, jeez. At some point, we got more freaking aerobics. I don't even know where in the movie anymore. Sorry. I almost forgot. Chuck runs off with Debbie. Oh, thank God you have her name here. Thank you. Debbie is played by Diane Copeland, who was in Surf Nazis Must Die. Holy crap. Talk about a movie that did not live up to its poster.
I have not seen it.
I stayed up so late at my sister's house when I was a kid, and I watched two horror movies in a row. I watched Surf Nazis Must Die, which I was very disappointed in. I'd probably enjoy it now. But then I watched Deadly Friend, which I loved. To this day, I still love Deadly Friend. But so Debbie is watching, and she invites frickin' Chuck to leave work. And he's like, yeah, let's go to your place. And he totally leaves work. But he's doing it just so we can get some info about something or other. And then he makes a call to the silent partner named Mr. Erickson, Rhonda's silent partner. So Chuck is up to something, but we don't know what the hell he's up to.
Mm-mm.
She totally was like, where are you going? He's like, I gotta go back to work. And she's like, don't you want this, all this sexiness in this bathrobe? And he's like, all right, I got time to make out. So they make out. It's so cute.
Mm-hmm.
So Morgan starts tailing this lady, Diane. Diane is the one who had the knitting needle covered in blood. Someone is trying to frame her. It ain't right, man. Because the killer comes after her while he's staking out. It's amazing. Let's see. She doesn't let him in the door. He knows the killer's coming or something. So he's beaten down her door. She's terrified of him because he has not good copping skills. And while he's trying to get in, she gets murdered. He breaks down the door. The killer bursts through the window. It's so wonderful.
It really is.
Oh, this movie, I'll say this. This movie has amazing pacing, folks. Never lets up, ever.
Never.
And right after she's murdered, Morgan gets the call that Diane's knitting needle was not the murder weapon. And Lieutenant Morgan makes a face like, no shit, it wasn't. According to Elizabeth and Brad's notes, it says, Rhonda is a bitch. Yes, that is very accurate.
She is.
Diet Pepsi. I forgot to mention, Chuck drinks a Diet Pepsi while he's hanging out with Debbie. Cue 1987 Diet Pepsi commercial here.
Step right up to a carnival of flavors, all with vitamin C from Crush.
Feel me a crush, sweet darling. I want a taste that's bigger than real. Feel me a crush with 10% juice. It's a feeling I just gotta feel. Peel it down to the natural juice.
The graffiti.
Oh yeah, we're getting there. So we see the killer washing up after the crime, and the killer takes off their wig. It's like, ooh, who is this killer? Who could this be?
Who can it be?
But yes, indeed, we have some vandals, some very some very, very ambitious young psychic vandals who predict the movie Death Spa by spray painting Death Spa on Rhonda's workout place.
And aerobicide.
Yep. There's your title drop for whichever version of this movie you happen to be watching. Have you seen Death Spa? I've never seen Death Spa.
Yes, I have, actually. Ooh. It's got Ken Foray in it.
Oh. Always, always pleased to see him.
Yes, and best as I remember, I liked it. It's been a long time.
Nice. The killer does not appreciate this graffiti and murders the guy. It was two girls and a guy. And then the girls are making jokes because they think that their friend's been caught. And he has indeed been caught by the Angel of Death.
Mm-hmm.
And the one girl gets murdered very easily. But the third girl, she almost gets away. Almost.
She should have.
She doesn't know how to drive, apparently, when she's under duress.
No. But I just sat there and kept saying, drive, drive, drive.
She could have been gone in 60 seconds.
That was a movie reference. Woo, Angelina Jolie.
As the killer, instead of using their patented freaking giant safety pin, the killer's like, no, I need a big old knife for this one. They're so enraged. They don't follow their own MO they've established. Oh, my God.
Uh-oh.
Oh, we're not taking this one. We're done. No calls from the public. Sorry, folks. Apparently, there's a character named Brad in this movie, and I like that.
There is.
This guy, Brad, and his buddy, they're talking shit about all the murders and making some really stupid-ass jokes. Apparently, the killer doesn't like that and comes in and kills these guys back-to-back. Just boom, kills the one guy, boom, kills the other guy. It's so good. Tommy, this guy Tommy, who is innocent, or Jimmy, whatever his frickin' name is,
It's Tommy.
He finds the bodies. Tommy finds the bodies. And that means Chuck's going to run in and immediately suspect that this guy's the murderer. So Chuck beats the living balls out of this guy. It is right. So, like, how does his brain work? Like, does he actually have a mouse trap as a brain? And the mouse went for the cheese and the trap came down because there's no reaction time. He just starts pummeling this dude. So they pull Chuck off of this guy or something happened. The cops come and Tommy's obviously innocent, but then he goes into a dream sequence.
Wow.
Where Jamie comes in and takes her top off and seduces him in the men's locker room. And then she gets murdered by Tommy himself.
Crazy. I'm like, wait a minute.
We've got main characters in this movie, right?
Yeah.
You would think that a main character, the lieutenant, Chuck, Rhonda, Jamie, any of them would have a dream. But no, this guy Tommy, who's not in this movie for like any of the movie, has this long dream sequence.
Yeah.
Which obviously was just an excuse so we could see Jamie with her top off. But then...
Right.
Lieutenant,
I appreciate it.
Lieutenant Morgan wakes him up and says, hey, I'll leave you some police protection. And that fails.
And immediately. And
Tommy gets murdered immediately. It's the pacing, folks. Everything is sacrificed for the pacing of this movie, dude.
I mean, it's done.
Yep. I never even thought of what the body count of this movie is until just now. It's crazy.
It's quite a few.
Oh, boy. So Chuck goes to Jimmy's apartment, obsessive Jimmy, you know, who's obsessed with Rhonda, and he finds all these photos of Rhonda. He finds a little doll that the guy made. It was a Barbie, and he's carved the plastic face into Rhonda, and he's got one of those anime pillows, like the full-length body pillows, but it's just Rhonda laying out. Okay, I made up some of that. But yeah, he's obsessed with her. He goes to check on Rhonda to make sure she's okay. She's in the dark, swimming in a swimming pool, which, folks, again, over and over again with this podcast now, we got swimming pools at night.
Mm-hmm.
I am, like, loving this season. I don't even know if we have seasons on the Doom Show, but this season's important to me. We can't see Rhonda at all. We can't see her naked. Maybe she's just a modest actress who, you know, has ideals and doesn't want to get naked, or they're trying to hide something from us, they being the filmmakers.
Hmm.
Or the 5G government. It's frickin' Verizon, brother. So
it's probably Verizon.
Probably Verizon. Jimmy, of course, is spying on Rhonda as he is wont to do, and he sees Chuck, and Chuck sees Jimmy, and they fight. And for some reason, I cannot understand, Chuck is gonna get killed by this guy. Like,
he got his ass beat this time.
I don't understand. It's like he's got two personalities or something. One that can't kick Jimmy's ass.
Yeah, because, I mean, he handily beat Jimmy earlier.
Oh, God. He beats up frickin' Chuck. Chuck manages to get him with a rake. We have like an almost rake fight. There should have been one more rake. We've had a real rake jamboree here. And even with a rake frickin' stabbed into his leg, Jimmy still wins. Chuck is alive somehow, and now he's hanging with Rhonda and Lieutenant Morgan. And he admits that he's really Charlie Dawson, a private investigator, who's been hired to look into something. I'm not sure.
Right.
I don't know what he's doing there. I love it. So back at the spa, Jamie is hanged, and a girl finds her, and this girl who finds her is also murdered immediately. Holy shit, dude.
I love it.
I wrote in my notes that, yes, Jimmy beats the shiitake mushrooms out of Chuck.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't do it means nothing to Chuck. Rhonda stabs her apple with a letter opener very violently for some reason in one scene. The lieutenant tells Rhonda he's running out of body bags.
Wait, the guys that keep zipping up the body bags that last time, they're like, see you tomorrow.
Yeah. So cute. I love it. Oh man. oh shit. Jimmy offers to help Rhonda, very vaguely, I'll help you. He says this in front of a Le Jazz poster. That's a lovely scene. It's called Production Value Richard. Oh, Jimmy does some hate lifting with some weights. I wrote in my notes, ouch. That looks like he's doing it wrong. He's so angry.
Yeah, it's not the way you do it.
Oh, Jimmy also has an arsenal with his Rhonda freaking, Rhonda altar. He's got all kinds of weapons, guns, ammunition, knives, everything. When the cop that they left there finds Jamie hanging up, he just looks at her body and goes, Jesus. Luckily, the movie gives us some aerobic scenes.
Mm-hmm.
Which could be the drinking game of this movie if you wanted to die.
Right.
Jimmy, out in the parking lot, completely runs over Chuck. This movie, subverting expectations, and it will continue until the very end. He runs over Chuck and then murders him with an ice pick to mimic the giant safety pin.
Yeah.
The lieutenant shows up at Rhonda's place. And we see, finally, her scarred up head. Now, Rhonda isn't really Rhonda, Brad. This is important.
Mm-hmm.
She's Valerie. Valerie was the name of the model at the beginning of the movie who got burned up in that tanning bed. And she flashes Lieutenant Morgan her burned up boobies.
Mm-hmm.
And right as he's handcuffing her, because he's accusing her of being the killer, right after this happens, after she denies everything, and we find out that Jimmy has killed Chuck, he has to let her go because of this Jimmy trying to take the fall for her, for his loved one. So Morgan chases Jimmy to a lumber yard, and after some glorious cat and mouse antics, Morgan gets the jump on him and accuses him of taking the fall for Rhonda. But then Morgan is overpowered by this unstoppable force named Jimmy. And then, back at the Rhonda's workout place, Rhonda's taking a shower, and she walks in, and we see the full Rhonda. We get the whole scoop here, where Rhonda is completely burned, including her boobies, which the makeup guys very carefully made sure that her boobies, every square inch of them, are covered with scar tissue.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm reminded of a giallo, but I don't want to say which giallo, because it'll be a spoiler for the giallo.
Right.
Do you know which one I'm talking about, Brad?
I do.
All right. Well, let's not mention it.
All right.
Hey. So
it's deep red.
Oh yeah, I'm sorry. It's nothing underneath, because it takes place at the Donald Pleasance having a salad bar at Wendy's.
Mmm, classic.
Mm-hmm. He eats the whole salad bar. Oh, that's why he never worked in Italy again. Also because he died.
They threw him out, and then he died. Said, if I can't go back to Italy, I don't want to live. So he got cancer. It was awful.
Oh, boy. So instead of rejoicing that now Jimmy has finally seen her true self, she pulls out a frickin' 44 Magnum and blows Jimmy away, dude. When she asks him, why did you kill Dawson? He says, bleeding to death, because I love you. And then she shoots him again. And
yeah, she does.
Poor Jimmy, man. I was starting to like him.
I'm telling you, he'll do anything for love, but he won't do that.
So here we are at the end of the movie. Credits roll. Wait, there's more. So,
but wait.
Now we have Lieutenant Morgan driving Rhonda somewhere. And they're just driving and driving. And then she asks, this isn't a police car, Morgan. And he says, that's right. It's a rental.
My favorite quote of the whole film. This isn't a police car, Morgan. That's right.
It's fantastic. So why, why is Lieutenant Morgan taking Rhonda on a little seaside cruise into the desert? Ooh. When he gets out of the car, they park in the middle of nowhere. He gets out of the car. He takes out a freaking shovel, which isn't the craziest part of this. The craziest part is that Rhonda's wearing some crazy MC Hammer pants.
Boy howdy.
Do-do-do-do. It's Rhonda. She she then has to suffer through Lieutenant Morgan's monologue. He monologues the monologue. He talks about his freaking dad, who was a cop who was after the Midnight Strangler. And his father caught the Midnight Strangler, but then they had to let Midnight Strangler go on a technicality. So he asked his dad about this, and his dad never told him, but he knew that his dad had killed the Midnight Strangler and buried his body out in these very woods here that his father owned. Rhonda, not really good at reading between the lines, doesn't really know what the hell he's talking about until he literally tells her, I'm going to kill you and leave you out here. Do you know, in reality, how many people have found out why they're being taken out to the middle of nowhere to be shot and buried? None of them. Zero. Zilch. The person is trying to trick them into going somewhere with them and then kills them and then buries them. But as he's like reminiscing about his murder father, Rhonda sees an opportunity to grab the shovel and blah-blah, like El Kabong fucking kills Lieutenant Morgan with his own shovel.
I mean, it's the whole telling at the end of a slasher film or something like that. It's the whole telling him your plan.
Dude. Like,
well, I'm about to kill you so I can tell you my plan, and then they get away. It's that he's like, I brought you out here to kill you, ding dong. And she's like, oh, okay. And he's like, yeah, let me tell you a story. And she grabs the shovel and it's over.
I'm not saying Lieutenant Morgan deserved it, but he deserved it.
He totally deserved it. Idiot.
The end of the movie, we see Rhonda back. Oh my god, I'm dying here. Don't worry, it's tuberculosis. We see Rhonda even more successful than ever because she killed Jimmy. She's now a hero for killing the killer that was killing all these aerobics people. And so she has an assistant now, and her assistant is like, oh man, we should have a giveaway and we should have all these promotional things, blah, 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 blah. And Rhonda's like, yeah, dude, that's a brilliant idea. Let's do this.
So go do it.
her buddy leaves to go do this promotional gimmickry. And Rhonda takes out the giant frickin' safety pin and fondles it a little bit, smiling. And then she explains in a long flashback what happened to her and, like, in her childhood, why the safety pin's important. in the deleted scenes that have been lost. We don't know why she does the stupid thing.
No.
But that's it. That's the whole movie, dude. And according to Brad and Elizabeth's notes, Rhonda is still at large. The end.
She is.
Oh, my God.
What a film.
Oh, boy. What a wonderful movie, dude.
I'm telling you. Oh. I'm so glad Ted picked it.
Yes, thank you,
Ted. I had never seen it.
I could have sworn you and I had talked about this movie before, but yes, you had not seen this.
Well, I thought I had.
Wow.
But it was Death Spa.
Ah, see, look at that. And of course you'd be confused.
Yeah.
Let's see. I have a little bit of trivia before we get into... I know we were spoiling it, how we feel about this movie. Mm-hmm. But the one piece of trivia I freaking love about this is the director, Mr. David Pryor, he found it very hard working with the director of photography because, quote, he had no respect at all for me and fought me all the way on every single thing we shot. Wow.
Wow.
Now, I've never heard of this cinematographer before. His name is Peter Bonilla, and he shot some movies I have never heard of. I don't know what's going on here. Yeah, just shot documentaries, some short films. I don't know, but yeah, he and David fought a lot. Maybe he fought with Ted too. I don't know.
Maybe so.
But yeah, no, this is very interesting. I want to see Deadly Prey now. This is a very magical movie. I certainly like it better than Sledgehammer, although Sledgehammer for a debut film is pretty good. It's just not, you know, it's just not great.
I want to see it again now.
Yeah. I don't recommend that, but Brad, how do you feel about Killer Workout, aka Erbakayed?
So I loved it.
Yes.
Narratively, there are a lot of things that don't make any sense, like why she went to kill Diane. There was not really, it's not like Diane knew who it was. Mm-hmm. Why did she kill Brad and his buddy? Why did she kill the graffiti? I guess I know why she killed the graffiti artist, because it was her place that they were vandalizing. But at the time, I'm like, boy, it does subvert everything you think. The final girl is also the killer.
Yep.
So you think that there's probably no way that Chuck Charlie is going to be killed, but he is. Morgan gets, I mean, everybody dies. And it just, like, it's so funny because they keep just zipping up body bags. The dude, like I said earlier, actually says, "See you tomorrow." The songs are amazing.
Oh, yeah, dude.
It's like they took generic songs from that time period and put them in a blender, and it came out in a new form. One of the lyrics that I wrote down from a song, it was a dude singing, and it is, "I like the wind and snow. I love hearing men say." And I don't know.
What?
I don't know what that means.
Neither
but,
do I.
But yeah, no, I was so glad that Ted picks this because it's awesome. And I had no idea.
Yeah.
And you're right. You're spot on about the pacing. It's bam, bam, bam. I mean, it moves. And there's really no fat on it at all. And people are just getting murdered left and right.
Would you say this movie's got good tone? Like it's been exercised in the writing process?
Yes.
Nice. Well, I too love this movie. I had some issues with my DVD. I have the Massacre video, and I could not find subtitles. Maybe I just am a subtitle failure finder. But yeah, the audio on the DVD is a bit rough, so I had to crank the frickin' movie. And it's not too bad. It's not one of those loud music, quiet talking movies, but it was a struggle to hear what people were saying.
Right.
And you just want to hear what people are saying because the dialogue is so special.
Mm-hmm.
And just, yeah, like we've already said twice now, we'll make it three times, the pacing rocks in this. Such a tacky 80s movie. It's like, oh boy, if you like tacky 80s bullshit, you will really enjoy this. It's so good. Yeah. Dude, folks, we aren't done yet. We've got a question time.
No jump aerobics with Charlene Prickett. Shape magazine said one of the best low-impact tapes. This one's easy to follow with a nice, easy pace for the sedentary or overweight.
Pull. All right.
Rev up with Charlene Prickett. USA Today said, wow, this video is a gem. Prickett leads her class through a 30-minute aerobic routine, the toughest of the videos we've reviewed. The tape also includes a good warm-up and some of the toughest stomach exercises on video. Prickett's an excellent instructor, encouraging without pushing too hard. To order either of these safe, effective, hour-long workouts, send $32.50 check or money order to It Figures Videos, Calgary Television, 222 23rd Street Northeast, Calgary, Alberta, T2E 7N2. Please specify beta or VHS.
Killer Workout, Part 2, 3, 2, 1.
All right. Brad, you have a sweet question. Time. What is your question for this episode?
Well, I came up with it after we saw the film, and I thought, how have I not seen this? Why don't more people talk about it?
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, why don't we do a list of underrated slasher films?
And I said, yes, please.
Yes, please. So we started with five, and then you were doing yours, and I said, hey, I'll do 10.
Yep.
I'll do 10.
And of course, you know, I thought of like 14 or 15, but I did narrow it down to 10.
Gotcha. You could be like Simon and have like 14 different honorable mentions.
No, just a few. I'll rattle them off real quick. So here's some honorable mentions. Hellfest, which is the newest one.
Mm.
Hellfest almost made my list. Did you see Hellfest?
I did.
Yes. How did you feel about Hellfest?
It's on my list.
Oh, Schmidt. Okay. I hope this next one isn't on your list, but I predict maybe it will. It's a little one that you told me about called Cry Wolf.
Also on my list.
See, I'm a bad boy. I have also on this little runners up here, the Cold Prey movies.
Mm.
I have not seen past the second one, but I really enjoyed Cold Prey 1 and 2.
Right.
Gorgon's back. Gorgon needs to crowd me. Hi, buddy. Why don't you keep on walking instead of freaking me out? Keep going. Don't step on the mouse. Oh, my God. Sorry. Last but not least, a little film that I recently saw and reviewed for EuroCultAV.com called Unmasked Part 25.
Oh, yeah.
British comedy slasher that I love very much.
Good.
It's real bad, but I liked it. So Brad, I've already hogged this spotlight. Do you have any runners up, or are you just going to go into your 10 here?
Nope, I just got 10. They're in no particular order.
Okay. A caveat good. I thought of is, folks, if at any given moment you start sweating and vomiting because we're using the word underrated, you might be a movie hipster. Just let us talk about it's okay to use the U word or the O word when discussing films. And if you disagree with us that any of these movies are just rated over or under, then that's okay. We can talk about movies that we think are underrated. It's not a crime.
It's true.
Yes. Is your list in order, or is it just 10 things?
It's just 10. I don't have any kind of order, and I figured I'd just, as we... If we wanted to go back and forth like we did last time, I'd just mark them off.
Let's do it. You go first.
Well, let me cover the two that are on here that you mentioned. Hellfest, we saw that for Elizabeth's birthday.
Nice.
The year before last at the theater. Solid slasher film. I don't think it made a whole lot of money at the box office, but, I mean, it's got what you're looking for. It's got a theme. Just a guy, somebody killing a bunch of people at a Halloween amusement park attraction. Good stuff. And then Cry Wolf is a teen slasher. It's got a little bit of a different take. I can't really say what because I don't want to spoil it. Teen Wolf is one that we really enjoy. You know me, teen slashers, I'm there.
Yeah, boy. I'm going to drop a couple here. I'm going to say a proto or slasher, depending on how you feel about when this movie was shot and then how this movie was released. It's a little film called Savage Weekend. Which I've noticed one thing about this list of mine is that you and I, sir, have been championing some slashers that people don't care about for a long time.
Yes, there are several on my list that we've covered.
Me too. One more for me is another one we've covered on this very show, which is The Silent Scream.
Nice.
Silent Scream, which I had a surprise in store for me when Jeffrey and I were recording Blood Cult. We found out that one of the characters, one of the actresses from Silent Scream, is in Blood Cult. She was one of the main characters of Blood Cult. Blew my mind.
That's awesome.
It's not Barbara Steele.
Right.
What else you got?
Another one that I think is underrated would be, that made my list, is Killer Workout.
Yes.
I've heard of that. I put it in there.
Yeah.
I loved it. Obviously, I mean, we talk slashers a lot with people, and I don't hear about this one very often, and it was just so much fun.
Yay. This movie kind of bends the rules of what a slasher is. But I do think it's underrated. I think it deserves a little more love, and that would be Killer Party.
Ooh, Killer Party.
Yeah, it's a supernatural slasher. It tries to fool you that it's a stalker killer, but I don't want to say any more for folks who haven't seen it, because it takes a turn that I did not expect, and it rewards every time.
Heck yeah.
What else you got there, buddy?
All right, so I've got a film called Visiting Hours,
yes, which
had its Blu-ray debut in my house last night. It is that rare beast of an adult slasher film with adult people in it. the final girl in it was 57 when it was filmed.
Are you serious?
Yeah, Lee Grant.
That's incredible. 57.
William Shatner stopped by for 30 minutes, picked up some money. It's 1982, which means he had this, Visiting Hours. He had The Wrath of Khan, and he also started T.J. Hooker in 82. So damn, he had a busy year. Michael Ironside is the killer. That's not a spoiler, because it's not one that you don't know who the killer is. You know the whole time. It's got Axel from My Bloody Valentine, who plays a cop.
Wow.
In one scene, Linda Pearl. It's got, can't remember her name already, but it's got a girl that was in Happy Birthday to Me and a few other things, who is actually now a member of Parliament in Canada.
You told me that. That's crazy.
Crazy. But yeah, Visiting Hours. Scream Factory put out a double feature Blu-ray with that and Bad Dreams. Nice. I would highly recommend picking up for Visiting Hours, because it's really good.
I'm a cheapskate and picked up the DVD of that double feature, so I look forward to revisiting. Freaking visit.
I think you'll dig it. I really do.
Yay. Yeah, I just wasn't taken with it the first time, but we're talking ages ago. Like, I mean,
right,
it was probably whenever that first DVD came out of that, like the nicer one. So probably 2008 or 2007 or something. So it's been a long time.
Yeah.
So I'm going to do a modern one, a more recent one. Speaking of things that you and I have covered on the show, but I'm taking us way back to an old episode and talking about, oh yes, no one wants to hear this from me, but you're going to get it anyway, folks. My Soul to Take.
Nice.
Wes Craven, master of horror, did a little movie called My Soul to Take, and I did not go see it in theaters because it was an accursed time. Americans were so spoiled by the movie industry at some point that we wanted everything to be in 3D, even though 3D is complete and utter dog shit, unless you're talking about Jaws 3D or Friday the 13th Part 3 or Coraline. Those are exceptions. I cannot stand 3D, never really cared for it. They retroactively made My Soul to Take into 3D and released in the theaters. And because it was weird and because no one gave a shit about 3D, it bombed And so I went into it thinking it was going to be terrible. And I love it. You and I talked about it and The Ward like 1,000 years ago. John Carpenter's The Ward, his last feature film. And yeah, that was a great, fun episode. And all that hate mail we got, oh boy.
People on other podcasts made fun of us.
Yep. But that's okay. I mean, it's not, but it's okay.
I mean, we still talk about it today, about how we got made fun of.
We're not mad.
That was, how long ago was that? A decade?
Yep. That was back when we were young and naive.
I'm telling you.
What else you got?
No, I love my soul to take.
Yeah, dude.
All right, I got one. Here we are. One that we've covered. He Knows You're Alone.
Oh, yes.
Which is 1980, a year that we did not have a whole lot of slashers. You're in between Halloween and, well, the 80s, also Friday the 13th, but still, Tom Hanks in his first film role, if I remember correctly. I have a burn disc of it. I don't even own the DVD. Damn. There's no Blu-ray. I would love for somebody to put it out on Blu-ray because it is a great little slasher film.
He's a closet. Yeah, that is also on my list. So we can knock that right off my list.
Excellent.
I echo all your sentiments. He Knows You're Alone. I feel like one day, unless the elements, like the original print, is just gone from this earth, we're going to get a sweet freaking Blu-ray of He Knows You're Alone.
I love it.
And that's when you'll read all these articles about this freaking mysterious lost slasher, you know, and we'll be like,
forgotten classic.
It was in a closet. So my next one is my last like recent film. This is the 2000s, late 90s, early 2000s. I actually can't remember what year it was, but it's a film that I introduced my pals, Marky Karloff and Carrie Frankenstein of The Propel 2, and I created a monster. Marky knew who Brittany Murphy was, but he had never really gotten to know her until I showed him Cherry Falls.
Mm-hmm.
And after this, I began to notice that Marky and Carrie were watching movie after movie after movie with Brittany Murphy, and I did not understand what was going on. They were gathering material for an album, an EP for their band, The Propel, and it was released on the anniversary of her death. And,
wow.
They even invited me to drop by the studio and add some vocals and some synthesizer. So I finally got to appear on a Propel EP more than just my voice. I got to musicianship it.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, they recorded a whole thing. They love Brittany Murphy. It's amazing.
You know, I just understood the title just now.
It's naughty.
But for real, I didn't get it till just now.
Cherry Falls subverts the expectations and does it in a very silly way. My only criticism is not a criticism of the film. It's a criticism of the producers and the MPAA. Not the producer's fault. They made a gory horror film, you know, and this was during the last days when the MPAA really cared about slashers. Like, at some point, you'll notice that the MPAA don't give a fuck about, like, gore at some point.
Right.
I don't know. I'd like to look into that because there's just this... All of a sudden, it became meaningless whether something was unrated or not, and it just got... Movies were gory again for no reason.
Right.
But they cut some gore from Cherry Falls in order to get it released under an R rating, or get it released as a PG-13 or something, and then the elements to this day have not been recovered, so we still have this censored version. But it doesn't hurt the film. It's a very fun, quirky film. What else you got, dude?
All right, so I've got one. I'll just go ahead and do the other one that I know we have covered, and that would be The Demon.
Oh, yes.
Don't put your trash in my backyard, because my backyard is full. Cameron Mitchell, feels like two films, Frankenstein together in the center. It also, I would love a Blu-ray of The Demon. I'd buy that in a heartbeat.
Me too.
But such a fun slasher film from South Africa.
Crazy. The Demon is also on my list. You read my mind.
Oh snap.
We covered this so many years ago. Yeah. And it just deserves love. It's not about the plot. It's not about the cash in on Halloween. I mean, we have a very Michael Myers-esque killer who, you know how Michael Myers' look changes a lot sometimes, especially in like, oh, what's that little film called? Halloween H2O?
Right.
Where he turns into a computer-generated Michael Myers mask.
Yes.
The killer in The Demon will change mid-scene. His look will change from shot to shot. It's brilliant. It's Cameron Mitchell steals the movie, his character, the whole premise of his character. Even if it wasn't Cameron Mitchell, it's such a baffling bunch of bullshit that you have to see it. I, too, would be all over a frickin' Blu-ray. It's a crime. This movie's so frickin' obscure.
Agreed.
What you got next, buddy?
Go ahead. You do one.
Well, let me just explain to the audience real quick. When I've been drinking, apparently I just call Brad Buddy over and over again. I don't know if you've noticed tonight.
No.
Hey, buddy. Hey.
Buddy.
I just want to tell you, I love you. No. You don't understand, okay? I love you. No. This bullshit. No, everything else in the world is bullshit. I love you. Like, no, I've had that conversation with people so many times. Oh boy. Okay. So I'm going to pick something here.
All right.
This movie, I am very confident that no one is thinking or talking about this movie at this moment. The internet not included. No one gives a shit about Humongous.
Humongous.
Humongous is a movie that reputation was that it was boring, impossible to see, too dark, yada, yada, yada. I knew it was a VHS casualty. That when they took this beautiful movie, slapped it onto VHS, that all the nighttime scenes just drove people completely insane. And yes, it's a dark movie, but the DVD by, I want to say Scorpion? Maybe Code Red? I think
Code
it was Scorpion.
Red, I think. Maybe it's Scorpion.
They restored it. Didn't even go crazy with the restoration. They just slapped it on the frickin' DVD. And what a shocker. You can see the frickin' movie. What?
Yep. Yep. And
it became a favorite. It has an element that I don't like in movies. It has a rape scene.
Right.
But the rape scene is important to the plot. It's without that rape scene, there would be no movie. So it's not gratuitous. Right. It just happened. So when I first finally watched it, I was like, oh no, what? But then the movie proved that, you know, yes, you can have a rape scene if you make it integral to the story. Bam. But it's just a great atmospheric little slasher, very claustrophobic. Mm-hmm. People on an island. I can't recommend Humongous enough.
It's got some Friday the 13th Part 2 similarities.
Yes, absolutely. What is your next film?
All right, so the next one is a film that I don't think gets enough love, and that is Alone in the Dark. Slasher film, not the later one.
Ooey Bowl.
The one. Yes, not that one. This one's got Jack Palance, Martin Landau, Donald Pleasance. It's got Murdoch from the A-Team. It's somewhat of a siege slasher, but it's very much worth your time.
Nice. Yeah, I would love to rewatch it. I'm way overdue for a rewatch of that. I had that DVD, and I wish I'd kept it. It was one of those movies that, because it didn't wow me, I was like, yeah, I got to sell it. Sold it.
Yep.
And then immediately was like, why did I do that? Because I'm a dumbass? So, yeah. I'm a fan of Alone in the Dark.
Yeah, I've got the DVD.
Okay. My next choice, I hope I'm wrong. I hope that it is overrated, rated Uber rated people, Uber drivers talk about this film. I hope I'm not alone in this sensation in my calf muscles. Cheerleader camp. I watch Cheerleader Camp way too much. I think it's awesome. I don't know. How do you feel about Cheerleader Camp, Brad?
I have only seen it once. Oh. I remember liking it.
Yes.
But I don't remember a lot of specifics, honestly. It's got the skeleton girl and the skeleton in a cheerleading outfit in the air.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. I need to see that again.
You should. I was just drawing a skeleton on my notes. Look at that.
Really?
Yeah.
Amazing.
The thing about that movie is you have a fat character who shows his butt, and then it gets stuck in a window of a van. You got that same character rapping. They have a rap scene.
Really?
They have ridiculous characters that you'd find in, like, Elvira, Mistress of the Dark movie, like silly characters.
Mm-hmm.
It's full of red herrings. And then by the ending, there was this really oddly satisfying ending that I love very much. So
I need to revisit it.
Yes. Hopefully Cheerleader Camp has an audience. I showed it on my birthday one year to a bunch of my buddies who are not horror movie people. And we had a blast with Cheerleader Camp. So
outstanding.
Is this our, are we rounding down to the last of our list?
I got three left.
Oh, thank goodness. Dude, I have one left. So why don't you do two? What's your next two?
All right. First one is Madhouse.
Yes. That almost made my list.
Oh man. I love Madhouse. I bought the Arrow Blu-ray. Boy, to me, it's a classic slasher. Even though Arrow did it, I don't know that I've heard very much about it, really.
Yeah.
It's filmed in here in America. It's I think its alternate title is There Was a Little Girl or something like that. Very much worth your time. It's a lot of fun. It's very stylish. And nice Blu-ray from Arrow. Then my next pick is, I think, the newest on this list, I think. And that would be a film that I think is criminally underrated. And that would be The Strangers Pray at Night.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Nice. Speaking of Marky Karloff and Kerry Frankenstein, they are huge fans of that.
I know. It's a great slasher film. It disappeared at the box office. Part of it is probably that they waited like a decade to do a sequel. There are no real thematic ties between the two. Maybe the masks. But it is just a fantastic 80s throwback slasher film. And I love it.
Man, that's a great choice. Yeah, they actually, Marky and Kerry were the ones who I watched it with for the first time.
Yeah.
And they lent me the CD soundtrack. And it's just, oh man, freaking... Kids in America, yeah, and all of the score, the swimming pool scene. Oh, forget about it.
I went, that was one of my birthday movies that we went and saw for my birthday, and they had the standout where you could put yourself as a victim of the strangers. So we took some pictures of me and of Elizabeth.
That's
and
a so little standout.
Yeah, a lot of fun. And I think that probably a lot of folks slept on it. Because the first Strangers is not really, it's not a slasher film, but this is definitely a slasher film.
Yeah, now
it's a great one.
Now that we own a home, home invasion movies are not real popular.
I can imagine.
In this house, but The Stranger, like you said, The Strangers is not a slasher. It's a freaking home invasion movie.
Right.
One of the best, certainly of the decade as far as home invasion. I love The Strangers, but...
Mm-hmm.
Strangers 2, Pray at Night, starts as a home invasion and just goes off on this tangent, this bizarro tangent that you just have to see to believe. I mean, I know people hate retro music. They hate synthesizer score. They hate anything that's a quote-unquote throwback. But we're trying, we being filmmakers, and by we, I mean people I'm not included in because I don't make movies. That's hard, brother.
Yeah.
But, like, people are trying to recapture that era, and sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. When you have a film like The Sleeper,
mm-hmm.
or Blood Junkie, you get a fun, you know, throwback sensation. House of the Devil's a fun throwback mm-hmm. film. But it's not a bad thing to have a throwback, and you don't really know when Strangers Pray at Night takes place. You never really get it. It's so strange.
Mm-hmm.
Urs Pray at Night.
also, it was filmed in Kentucky. So
oh.
There's that.
Nice. What is another one you have?
It's my last one. You want to go ahead and do your last one?
Yes. I will do my last one, yeah. And then I'll let you play us out with your sweet pick, bro.
All right.
So, this movie, folks, bear with me. It has a sensation. It also features, like, not rapping. It has some rapping, but mainly it has dancing. Some gratuitous 80s dancing in it. Mm-hmm. And I have yet to see anyone talk about this frickin' movie. I want to do this on the Doom Show one of these days. It's a little film called Night Screams.
Mm.
Now, for a long time before I'd seen Night Screams and Evil Laugh, I used to mix them up because you liked Evil Laugh.
I do.
So when I bought Night Screams, I kept texting you like, dude, I got Night Screams. Dude, I got Night Screams. You like that one. And you're like, what are you talking about? It turned out I was mixing up the titles. I got them both at the same time and got confused. Now, I do like Evil Laugh, but there's something about Night Screams that is just so comforting and silly and weirdly haunting in the most broken way possible. But I recommend checking it out. It has I want to say it's one of those old cardboard / plastic DVD cases, the snapper cases or whatever you call them.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably an old VCI disc, so that's how far back into DVD lore we're talking about here. So early 2000s, late 90s DVD. But give it a chance, folks. I think you'd like it.
Is it? It's the one that in the early scene, it's got some adults watching the ending of another slasher film, doesn't it?
See, that I don't remember. My brain gets erased when we get to the let's clean the room to some jaunty 80s music and everyone dances to it.
Now that's Evil Laugh.
Oh no! I'm still cursed! Now, I'll tell you this. I remember the ending of both very clearly.
Okay.
Evil Laugh is very distinct at the ending. So Evil Laugh has the 80s dancing. Night Screams, I believe, has the crappy rapping.
I would say so.
Okay.
There is the clip of where they're cleaning the room.
Yes, that's Night Screams.
No.
Fuck.
That's Evil Laugh.
Damn it!
That scene is on YouTube, and there's a Canadian band named Stars that did a cover of The Smiths, This Charming Man. And if you play them at the same time, it is perfect.
That's gorgeous.
If I knew how to put music on a video, I would have already done that. Dude. But as it is, you have to open two tabs and just be quick about playing
them. Yeah, of course. I'm watching the trailer for Night Screams because I am pissed that I can't remember this shit. There's a swimming pool at night.
Uh-huh.
There's a psychiatrist, a tape recorder, cheerleaders, a black-gloved killer, and then randomly a clip from fucking Graduation Day in the trailer for no reason.
Yep. Mm-hmm. It's in the movie.
That's the movie they were watching at the beginning.
Yeah. They watch Graduation Day. And I think it spoils Graduation Day.
It does. Okay, so folks, let me back up. Let me rewind a little bit. I wrote about this in Doomed Movie Thumb, the book, okay? I should have just looked at my notes to jog my memory here. So full disclosure, I mix up Evil Laugh and this movie to this day, even when I say I'm not mixing them up. Also, I've been drinking, so who knows what happens.
There you go. But
yes, Night Screams has an ending that is very different, very memorable. It's mumblecore bullshit. You are like, did they just explain the plot? I have to go back. And you go back and go, oh, that wasn't established. Whereas Evil Laugh has this great ending that you just have to see because you think everything's over, but oh, dun, dun, dun.
Yeah. And a cleaning scene of a room.
Damn, I wish that cleaning scene was in both movies. So
there you go.
I'll just mix them together in my brain, in my rum-addled brain. So, Brad, before I embarrass myself any further.
Right.
What is your last underrated slasher movie?
My last pick, I saved this one on purpose because I thought it might be on your list and I wanted you to say it if you had it. But it's okay. Death Valley. Death Valley with Peter Billingsley.
Man.
And you watched it the other day.
First time watch, yeah.
I have had it in my head for years that you hated it. I never brought it up because for some reason, I thought you had said, oh, I hate that one. So dude. I liked it. I bought the Blu-ray because I really enjoy it. I think it's a great slasher film.
So folks at home, let me explain this conversation, okay? So Brad is so shocked that I'm watching that movie to begin with.
Mm. Right.
Death Valley. And you're like, oh, really? And I'm like, yeah, dude. Oh, first time watch. And you're like, what? And I just start ranting and raving how great it is, how I wish I hadn't been putting it off for so long. And you're like, you said you hated that movie. And I started like racking my brain trying to remember, without success, what movie I thought I was talking about with you. Because it is clear from the first frame to me of Death Valley, I've never seen it.
Right.
And so, therefore, I was mixing it up with another film, much like Evil Laugh or Night Screams. Look, I just want to say, you're amazing. No, all bullshit aside, you're the most creative, fun person I know. And I just, anyway. So, I was obviously mixing up the titles. There's some poor movie out there that I actually tried watching or actually sat through and hated and just slapped Death Valley on it. But yeah, so 2020, this year, I watched frickin' Death Valley for the first time and was completely blown away that a slasher movie with the kid from A Christmas Story could be that damn good.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, great choice. All great choices.
Thank you. Thank you, too. I wrote down all your choices so I'd have them for posterity, along with my choices.
Sweet. And I have this recording of us talking, so.
Well, that's true. That also works, I guess. Ted, thank you very much for your generous donation to the
Absolutely.
Show.
Absolutely.
I talk to Ted all the time. It's really, it's wonderful.
Ted is a cool dude.
Yeah, I like Ted quite a bit.
And folks, you know, there's certain phrases that aren't hurtful, you know, like I know a lot of y'all out there in Twitter land read a lot of articles that are written by websites that use a lot of flashy talking to get you to click on their clickbait.
Mm-hmm.
Stop reading that shit.
Shh, quit.
You don't have to share these articles bitching about them. You don't have to read these garbage things. Like, what if something really is underrated? It's okay. Don't have to use oof to describe a movie. You don't have to use meh to describe a movie.
XD,
XD. XD, you don't have to say these silly ass things. You can just say something is overrated. I mean, it happens in every single facet of pop culture. Something gets talked about way too much, and that's okay.
Yeah.
Enjoy what you enjoy. I hope this list was not too obvious. I think you and I, Brad, frickin' brought some strangeness to this topic.
Yeah. Was it only two you had that I had?
Yeah. I almost put Alone in the Dark on my list, but I hadn't seen it in so long.
Right.
Yeah.
You had Cry Wolf and...
My Soul to
Hellfest,
Save, right?
Your honorable mentions were Cry Wolf and Hellfest, and I had those two. And then you had
He knows you're alone in the demon. So, yeah, no. And I thought, I really did, that was part of my thinking, was that I thought with 10 apiece, it would probably, we'd have some variety.
Oh, we did.
Yeah. When I told Elizabeth last night, I said, I told Ted that he was getting a question time. Because I said, if somebody donates to the show, I think it's, you know, they ought to get a question time on that episode too, you know. Make it longer.
Yay.
We're gonna, we're gonna
give till it hurts.
That's right. Yeah. We took our time in this, in the lists, and it was fun.
I agree. Sorry. I'm just chewing on my maraschino cherry from my drink.
Oh, there you go.
How rude.
Thanks for having me.
Eating on the show. I'm sorry. What were you saying?
I said, thanks for having me.
Oh, dude. Always. This has been a hell of a double feature between Mortuary and this. This is great.
Yeah. Like I said, we've not recorded back-to-back weeks in forever.
Yeah. We're inspiring ourselves to work out, get our pecs going, keep sweating to those oldies, get the, what's that shaker thing that looks like a dumbbell, but then you turn it on, it shakes.
Shake weight.
Looks like you're masturbating something too furiously. Man, we need those. I want one of those in each hand, and then two of them duct taped to our feet, so we're shaking on the floor.
Yep.
And we'll have a evil laugh playing on one TV, and night screams playing on the other.
On the other, and exactly.
We'll cut them together with graduation day.
There you go.
Well, folks, thanks for listening. Take care, and we'll talk to you at you later. But we'll really talk to each other.
Thanks, Ted.
Bye, Ted.
This is the Doom Show is a proud member of the Legion Podcast Network. Please check out the other podcasts on legionpodcasts.com. If you'd like more Hello, This is the Doom Show, go to hellodoomshow.podomatic.com or go to doomedmoviethon.com for the archives. If that's still not enough, go to @doomedmoviethon on Twitter. You can write in to Hello, This is the Doom Show. Use the email doomedmoviethon@gmail.com. Doom Show episodes are available on record and 8-track cassette.